This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The Organization for National Empowerment, or ONE, was set up last July by youths with diverse beliefs and backgrounds who share a common ideal, the desire to address the challenge of inspiring unity among Malaysians from the bottom up and to assist in the realization of Vision 2020. Here to tell us more are ONE's Head of Education, Danny Reyes, Head of Unity, Hannah Kam, and Head of Mature Democracy, Alia Aisha. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So firstly, why did you think there was a need for an organization like this?
Well, Lynn, to be honest, ONE, as we're known by, was actually established by a group of mutual friends who simply grew tired of being armchair critiques. We realized that there was a need for us, the youth, to stop complaining about the status quo and start assuming some responsibility in shaping the future of Malaysia. And this was the collective sentiment among us, but we didn't know where to start, really. By then, politics had become unsexy, and the youths were really craving for a neutral avenue to voice out their concerns. We realized that most NGOs out there were mostly field specific and either advocacy-oriented or more volunteerism-oriented. And there was really nothing which reconciled the two. So there was a gap that needed to be filled. And we thought, hey, why not, you know, come up with our own NGO?
I mean, basically, what we really want to be is a platform just so that other youths out there, they see what we do, they read what we write, and they actually they would actually comprehend and actually concur with the things that we want to achieve. Because basically, we just want to gather everyone on one platform and just move along with it. Because all the youths out there, they've got a lot of ideas. But, you know, politics is not the in thing anymore. It's not sexy, like Alia said. So we need to build something new.
And how did you make the leap from having this idea and thinking, okay, let's do something, to actually doing something? Because I think that, for a lot of people, can be the hard part. You know, everybody can decide that, okay, I think, you know, let's start a company, let's start an organization. But actually, you know, going down and registering the name and really getting out there, that's a whole other issue.
Right. I suppose we take inspiration from one another, because everyone, the word is truly semangat. You know, everyone's so high-spirited with regards to nation building. We all realize that we all bring something to the table. And when there was enough of us, we thought, just like Alia said, enough being armchair critics. We might as well go ahead and do something about it. Otherwise, we'll just continue talking and talking.
So what does national empowerment mean? I mean, that's a really big phrase, and it's one that I think we all aspire to, but it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Well, we are a small group. You know, we're only 12 people on the committee. And so we don't really believe that we can change Malaysia, you know, just the 12 of us alone. That said, we want to do something for our country, to initiate as much change as we possibly can, whether that's just a little bit or more. And empowerment is really about giving people the voice to tell others what they really feel are the problems that we're currently facing, and just to be able to contribute towards nation building, as Danny said. And mainly, our focus is on the empowerment of youths to do that.
And picking up from where Hannah left off, how we do this is via our 6 key thrusts, which is actually modelled after the 9 key challenges of Vision 2020, which we have adopted as our baseline. So then we have the 6 clusters, right? The economy cluster, entrepreneurship, mature democracy,
innovation, education,
and unity, obviously.
Yes.
And when you say these sort of 6 main clusters, how does the work you do focus around them?
Well, there is a two-pronged approach. One is cluster-specific, in which, for example, the most simple example would be education. So we look at the national blueprints coming out and things like this. We study it, and then we give our opinions. At the same time, there's also the more holistic approach, in which all the clusters work together. Now, it cannot be denied that if we put all the clusters together, they all have a prominent role to play in terms of nation building. We go about it by winging it, really. We see how it is. Because, look, we're youthful, and we still have that youthful euphemism. We might as well use it while it lasts. And so that's the way it is. We've come up with different projects, different ideas, and we run it all along at the same time.
So when it comes to the idea of being a moderate Malaysian, that's, you know, something that I think is very important in terms of engaging with civil society, in terms, and that in turn leads to national empowerment. So to the three of you, what does moderation or being a moderate Malaysian mean?
Well, for me, being a moderate Malaysian is about the acceptance of one another. So accepting that there are people of different cultures, races, religions, and so on. And to be tolerant of other people's beliefs and values. The very essence of being Malaysian is to be diverse, and we should really appreciate that, and because that's really, really unique. And so the answer really is not to criticize someone else because they have a different belief from you, but it's really about mutual respect and understanding.
The assumption behind campaigns on moderation is that people with opposing views can and should, some might argue, engage in a rational debate. At this point in time, do you think there is a safe space for reasonable discourse?
Do you want to take this one? Okay. Whether or not there's a safe space for reasonable discourse, I think safe space for reasonable discourse has always existed. It always has. It's just whether we want to find that space or not. Unfortunately, this the moderate view, we tend to keep quiet too often. People who get a bit excited, they are the ones that come out and they take up our reasonable space. And that's why a lot of the things that we hear, we read, we see has some sort of extremism labelled upon it, when in actual fact, moderate people like ourselves, we just try to do something. Every little effort goes a long way, I suppose.
Which actually brings me to a project which the Democracy Cluster has in store. We intend to set up an online debating platform, really. It's going to be called One Debates, where the six clusters will gather around and formulate a motion, where and the debate will be open for a span of 1 week, in which we will invite experts from various fields to argue for or against the motion. And this entire process will be overseen by a moderator. And at the close of the debates, we'll open it up to the public to actually send in their comments to the moderators and to vote and determine who the winner is. So I reckon this would be an interesting database for you to tap into how the youth feel about certain issues.
I think one of the key things which the Democracy Cluster is actually working towards is the fact that being moderate, you can be extreme as well. I think Alia raised that point in her article once.
Yes.
And by accepting all different views, because we actually open it up to all the different views, in many ways, that's how we actually find what the moderate line is. And I think we have to be open.
I suppose to put it succinctly, moderation exists on a continuum. It's not binary.
And in terms of expressing opinions in that sense, you know, how much engagement will there be between users of the platform, I suppose, you know, not just in terms of clusters, but if I were to visit a website or if I were to participate in the conversation, what would my role be as a general user or as a general participant?
As a general participant, it can be anything. The role, we actually open it up to you. To be honest, we're looking for contributors to write articles on our website. And we also have social media, in which everyone out there, if you are listening, you can follow us if you search for us. But that's the most important thing. We want to be a platform in which people can actually voice out their opinions. We don't want to prevent or limit it to anyone. And if you are not someone who writes, at least you can come in, you can read about what we have to say with regards to nation building or cluster specific stuff. And then whether you agree or you disagree. But most importantly is we are a platform. Free flowing, really.
If I could just add to that, actually, we're very, very relaxed, and we actually really enjoy people sort of emailing us directly. For example, all of us have emails with just our first name at oneonline.my. So, for example, I'm Hannah at oneonline.my. So if anyone has any questions about the Unity Cluster, for example, they can just contact me directly.
Yeah. your phone's going to die soon. Everyone's going to be emailing you.
I really welcome it.
Two key issues I think that are often problematic in our country are religion and politics. So considering we want that state of openness, that state of open discourse, how does one approach talking about issues like this?
Well, I think, as we mentioned earlier, we have to be very respectful when we have discourse. No doubt discourse is very, very important. But
also respect exists, to borrow a phrase, on a continuum. You know, what is respectful to one person is disrespectful to another.
Mm. Well, I think, for example, if you go to a discussion on race or religion or something like that, you can't be the one constantly talking, to put it very simply. You have to let other people ventilate their views and their opinions, and you can respond to those as you see fit, you know, and you have to give reasons to back up your opinions, I believe.
We're discussing the Organization for National Empowerment, or ONE. With me in the studio are Danny Rice, Head of Education, Hannah Kam, Head of Unity, and Alia Aisha, Head of Mature Democracy. Up next, we find out more about the different mandates as well as the clusters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. We're discussing the Organization for National Empowerment, or ONE. And with me are Danny Rice, Head of Education, Hannah Kam, Head of Unity, and Alia Aisha, Head of Mature Democracy. So on your organization's website, it states that the aftermath of the 12th general election showed how divided Malaysians were along racial lines and how harping on issues that divide us created an irrepressible wave of unhappiness. Could you elaborate on what you meant by this?
Again, we just want to see everything in a very holistic approach. I think if we look at the youths now, but not even the youths, people who are a bit older than being youthful, everyone has ideas. Unfortunately, they just do not have the right channels to go out there and voice out their opinions. Now, political parties do exist. However, we are of the view that perhaps political parties are not the only way for the people to be engaged in nation building.
Exactly.
Now, this is... Every little effort goes a long way. This is just how we intend to do it. Everyone's welcomed. It really doesn't matter with regards to race or religion or whatnot. I mean, the three of us here, you can see the dynamics.
Yeah. Really, all we just want to do is just offer a platform for the youth to contribute towards nation building in any way they can, really. Factoring in, you know, the human nature's varied interests. So you have the flexibility to really flit from one cluster to another.
And you've all discussed to varying degrees how politics is no longer sexy and perhaps rather alienating, I think, to some people, because it does feel sometimes like, I think it can be overwhelming. Having said that, how can politics be kept out of the space, or is it impossible to, you know, be apolitical?
Well, as a entire organization, collectively, we are apolitical. We don't have any political affiliation. That said, of course, as individuals, I'm sure we all hold our own views on politics. But it's also true to say that when we come together, we acknowledge the issues that we face as a country. We acknowledge that we do have these different views, and also that there are people on both sides of the political divide. And we try to work together to come to a mutually acceptable solution to the problems that we see currently. And we just hope that people in Malaysia will realise that this really is possible. And so please, this is really a plug for you to join us.
Yeah.
So do join ONE. We really feel that youths do need to be engaged with what's happening in the country.
Adding on to that, education cluster, we call ourselves NEMO. Now, it actually stands for National Education Monitoring Organization. But the best part about this is I never expected just how passionate young people are with regards to the education system in Malaysia. And even through that, because it's education, and education applies to everyone, whether they are young, they are old or whatnot. We've got people from both sides of the political divide and people who are, you know, not even sure what politics is, being a part of it. Now, the best part about this is you get to see two different viewpoints or more. And from there, we become our own moderators. We juggle every viewpoint and we see what is fair. I mean, like you said, respect is something which is always growing. So we have to respect everyone's views.
And Danny, perhaps you could explain your mandate as the head of education and what NEMO does.
Okay. Now, NEMO, as I mentioned, is the National Education Monitoring Organization. Now, if we see in Malaysia now, we have My Watch, and which overlooks crime and whatnot. However, unfortunately, at this point in time, there is a body that is lacking in this country, which overlooks education. Now, we can all agree with the fact that without a proper education, no country can continue to develop. Not that we are questioning the education of this country. However, if we look at how the public thinks of it or the public viewpoint of it, is that they are lacking in confidence. So we come in trying to study the education blueprint because we actually believe that there's a lot of good which is coming out from the education ministry and what's being done. But that is where we come in, purely from the experiences of people who have just graduated or people who have come from sekolah jenis Tamil, sekolah jenis Cina and whatnot. Everyone's got an experience, and then we try to voice it out. And at the same time, education also goes into things like culture and tradition and whatnot. And we cannot be a fully developed nation if we can't even say thank you to people who hold the doors for us. So that's it, really.
You referenced vernacular schools just now, and in an article you wrote about the education system in Malaysia, you mentioned or discussed the fact that the existence of vernacular schools hinders unity in the populace, perhaps because it still has people speaking primarily different languages, mixing with people who, by and large, are of a very specific demographic. So what is the solution then? How can you rectify this?
At this point in time, I mean, the article speaks for itself. However, for me to give an answer on radio at this point in time, I'd have to ballet myself around it. Nonetheless, I think vernacular schools, as I mentioned in the article, they are there and most likely they're going to stay. Fact of the matter is we have to kick out extremist views with regards to it. I am a proponent of vernacular schools purely because it's what makes our education system unique. Take out every student out there, ask them their IC or passport, we'll say that they are Malaysians. The only thing is that we need to bring back the confidence of education back to the parents. Now, if we see there are a lot of people attending Chinese schools, but what is the reason for people attending Chinese schools? Why is there also a very large increase of people actually using up all their savings to ensure their children go to private schools? We still believe in the government school system, and we are hopeful that by getting the youth's viewpoints, that the government school system will come back and that, you know, one day we will end up like Singapore, in which no one wants to go to the UK to study. Everyone wants to go to University of Malaya.
Hannah, as the head of Unity, what's your plan to instill national unity among Malaysians? Big question.
Well, yes, that is a big question. I touched on it before. As I said, I'm one person, head of the Unity cluster, and we're only 12 people in this exco. But what I aim to do within one is to perhaps infiltrate the other clusters and get in on their projects. So, for example, through NEMO, Danny hopes to perhaps develop the education system in whatever way he sees fit. And I hope to get in on it by showing young children, for example, by going to schools and saying, you know, look, we need to instill a culture of mutual respect and understanding in these people from a young age so that they will grow up to be very respectful and very understanding people and citizens of our country.
Going back to that idea of moderate Malaysians, you were quoted in National Daily as saying that moderates must communicate with extremists, whether via social media or in person, to highlight the value of a society in which mutual acceptance and respect reign supreme. But what happens when conversations or discourse escalates to threats of violence?
Well, of course, as we know in these days, that is a rather unfortunate thing to happen. And of course, as moderate Malaysians, we just cannot accept threats of violence. But as we all know, it's really unacceptable to respond to threats of violence with violence or such threats. Really, the only way to tackle such extremism is to get dialogue going. As I've said, you know, we need to really spread the word that it's not okay to hurt, you know, your fellow citizens, your neighbours, your friends, whether it be through actions or words. And of course, as I said, one can't do it on its own, but we hope to start a trend whereby people think, yes, you know, it really is cool to be accepting and to engage with other people in a really polite and understanding way.
It all starts with us, really. In all essence, if we go out there, if we actually practice what we preach, that impact itself more than words can ever achieve. So the thing is, we have to go out there. I mean, like Hannah, as you can see, she's such a gentle lady. She goes out there, she accepts everyone, and the more that, you know, she does that, hopefully the more it rubs on to other people. I mean, we have a great team here. Sorry, you guys, we're on radio. If you saw us, you'd be fascinated by just, you know, how lovely these ladies are, and everyone would want to join in. So
part of what I'm gathering from this is the importance of just starting and having conversations. Is that fair to say? I mean, that's part of what one wants to do?
Yes.
We have to make people feel comfortable in order for them to actually come out with their viewpoints. So if we're comfortable, they're comfortable, hopefully we'll get somewhere.
Mm. And Alia, could you explain your role as the head of the Mature Democracy Cluster?
Well, you see, democracy in its simplest terms means one citizen, one vote, right? So the people get to vote who comes and goes into power. And taking it further, what I intend to do is sort of nurture a mature democracy amongst the youths, where it basically means understanding the intrinsic nature of democracy and how it works, its functions, its different practices in certain countries, and respect for the system and the acceptance of different viewpoints. So right now, I think Malaysia is going through interesting times. Just yesterday, as we all know, the amendments to the Kelantan's Sharia Criminal Code was passed on a unanimous vote in the State Legislative Assembly, and the bill will be tabled in Dewan Rakyat next month. And if you ask me, this really sets the tone for very interesting discourse. And as head of Mature Democracy, I'm hoping to sort of indirectly or directly bring back the art of respectful discourse, of constructive criticism,
and
back amongst youth.
And you mentioned looking to other countries as well. I mean, do you have a model upon which you'd like to base, you know, discourse or an example of sorts?
Another country. Okay, for me personally, I've always found the direct democracy model in Switzerland particularly interesting, I suppose. But that's just, you know, my own personal opinion. It shouldn't necessarily reflect that of the organization of it.
I think.
Okay, for me, really, really, if I can be very candid. I've always been a fan of this quote by Alexander Pope. I think it carries a lot of wisdom. For forms of government, let fools contest. Whatever is best administered is best.
And this is where Finding Nemo comes in, in which we then try to teach people who Alexander Pope was, what he really meant with this quote. But at the same time, I think, you know, as you can see, there's a lot of a lot of synergy between the clusters. With Unity, they can work with education, and Democracy can definitely work with NEMO in terms of actually going out there, finding a solution, finding the best way to actually go out there and tell people this is what democracy is. Different democracies also exist in the world. Why is it better than communism, for example? And how it is essentially a living organism in which we ought to keep an eye on it.
One interesting thing about One's platform is that it is entirely in English at this point in time. Is there then the risk of your message only reaching the professional and urban community?
Satu poin yang sangat bagus. Hanya kerana pada masa ini kita sedang mencari orang untuk menulis artikel ataupun keluar dan sebarkan message kita kepada orang-orang lain. Yes, actually that's a fantastic point, purely because we must engage people in terms of different languages, and it just doesn't stop at Malay, but it ought to be our lingua franca. And it is perhaps one of the biggest steps that we want to take in. So yes, everyone out there who wants to write in, Shesheni, if you want to write in Mandarin, you know, Vanakkam, please, by all means, come
would
in and
write. Would you like to quote one of your famous pantuns at this point?
Budi bahasa budaya kita, but I mean, kalau lah ada hasrat nak menulis ke apa, sila tulis kepada kita, email kita, semua ada di website. So please, thank you very much.
You've mentioned also that there are 12 of you at this point in time. As an NGO, is One run by an all-volunteer force?
It is absolutely wholly volunteer-based. And actually, we're really proud of that because all of us have our day jobs. Most of us, you know, all of us are very busy. But it really shows how passionate we are about this nation-building initiative we hope to really get going. And we hope that, you know, many people out there will join us because they see how passionate we are. And we're very, very serious about this. This is not just us having some fun only. It really is about changing the dialogue currently in the country.
And if people really do want to get in touch to start writing articles in Bahasa or any Bahasa that they so please, how do people get in touch and support the work that you do?
Oh, they can always log on to www.oneonline.my. We actually have a special section, a special page where you can submit any of your podcasts or articles which you feel is relevant to our cause. Or heck, even irrelevant.
I mean, since Hannah already told the world that her email address is hannah@oneonline.my, feel free to email any one of us. We'll then put you in touch with the respective clusters. And at this point in time, we do have a button for membership for those interested in joining. And in it, you can indicate your preferred cluster, or if you are a social butterfly, you can choose any cluster you want and be involved in any way that you can.
Are there any upcoming events that people can attend and engage with?
Actually, we do have one coming up next month. This one is headed by Michael Teo of the Entrepreneurship Cluster. If I'm not mistaken, he's going down to Teluk Intan.
Yes.
To teach entrepreneurship skills.
Yes, and again, it encompasses other clusters as well, yes. Because we're actually going down to a school. We are trying to identify a certain school right now, perhaps one of the schools which is not really properly funded or whatnot, but we actually want to empower the young students there, teach them a thing or two with regards to entrepreneurship, and hopefully we will be able to achieve something. We don't want to be overly ambitious with our programs, but we start small, and hopefully if we're doing the right thing, then perhaps people will come in and support us more.
And finally, what message would the three of you like to leave with our listeners today?
You guys have been practicing this one quite a
bit. We have?
Oh, no, you've outed them.
I didn't realise that we had, but okay, I'll give it a go.
I wanted to see get your hit back in the game, but apparently that was vetoed.
Not at all. No, I think what we just want to say, as we've already said several times today, is that everyone has a part to play in nation building. And in fact, I think everyone has a duty to get involved in whatever way they wish. And so One is one way people can get involved. And we really do encourage young people from all walks of life, from different backgrounds, to join us. And we welcome you with open arms.
Anyone else want to add to that?
Oh, I'll give you the honors.
Okay, well, youth of Malaysia, please listen up. And even if you are 70 years old, if you're young inside, young at heart, then you're still a part of us. Now, we all have a duty, like Hannah said, to this country. We all have a responsibility and a role to play in order to ensure that this country continues to move forward. Now, we want to be that platform for everyone to actually be a part of it. So we invite you to come on board. And together, we can actually make this nation stronger and truly become the tiger of ASEAN once again. And in any shape or form, any articles or any message that you have to send out there, let's make Malaysia great.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. We've been discussing the Organisation for National Empowerment, or ONE. I've been speaking to Danny Rice, Head of Education, Hannah Kam, Head of Unity, and Alia Aisha, Head of Mature Democracy. You have been listening to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.